Very good, my darling.
Oh, thanks, baby.
Proud of you. Huh? You're a little gem. Yeah, so praise God. It's so wonderful to be in this place today and just to be able to share the Word of God and receive from God. You know, it so fits into with what I want to minister about this morning, what Eve spoke about. She didn't tell me. She never tells me what she's going to minister. It's always a surprise. And, you know, that little hidden gem, you know, she brings out and sparkles when she does. So, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of worship this morning that we had, Lord, and the time the worshipers put in to prepare, Lord. It's so wonderful to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, I just want to thank and praise you for the words that have come out this morning. And, oh, Lord God, that there's such meaning and significance to what has been coming out this morning. And, Lord, you are looking at each and every one of us and desiring so much to be with us in a powerful and a special way. And Lord, I just pray that you will reveal your word this morning. Use my lips to speak your word, but that you alone may be seen, oh God, and that your people, oh God, may receive your word with gladness and joy. And Lord, that your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish what it's been sent out to do this morning. Father, I just thank you now for your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit and revelation of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's somebody here this morning that has a problem with your heart, or you've been having an aching pain around your heart. I just want you to put your hand right now, and I command you, and I just say, be healed now in Jesus' name. And you will be healed right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Also, in your right ear, there's somebody that has a problem there. I just speak to that ear in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command healing to flow through that ear now. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I'm so proud of you, Trevor. Were you? There. I tell you, you're a man after my own heart. I just love it when somebody speaks out about the authority that they have in Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of the fact that you didn't get such a fright that you did what they said, but that you thought before that. And you thought about the authority you have in Christ Jesus. We must think before we act. You know, I'm so proud of that fact. One of the things I like ministering about, and I've had that type of experience in my own life as well, the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ is so amazing. I've had somebody who came to me and wanted to whack me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and he started crying. But I want to tell you something, that don't stand back for the power of the devil. You got the name of Jesus. It is the most powerful name in the universe. Use that name. You're a gem. You are special to God. And God wants to use you. But a lot of people are afraid to step out there and use what God has given them. You know, the last time I spoke, oops, my glasses broke. I didn't even do anything. No, in Jesus' name, go back. thanks, my darling, you see? There for me. Right. The last time I spoke about that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus said, has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Jesus says, I've given you everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. To those words, all power, everything. You're seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. We spoke about the fact that you have got Jesus Christ living in you. You don't have to cry out to God, please, God, come and meet with me. You got God because he said to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, today I want to speak about how did this all come about in you? How did this happen? How did you become such a powerful human being? Because Jesus said, you're not of this world. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. He says, you're a peculiar kind of people. I mean, those guys really thought Trevor was peculiar, and they had to, because he spoke the name of Jesus. And the power of God flowed forth from his lips. And they could not stand against that power. You have power within you. The power of God. Because there's greater energy that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to pray and say, God, why are you so far away from me? You're far away from me. You got to call Jesus and say to Jesus, Jesus, I just want those rivers of living water to flow out of me. Because the Bible says, out of your innermost being shall flow forth rivers of living water. Amen. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, it's not from there to here, it's from here to there. The reality and the power is within you to be released by words, as we spoke last week. When Trevor spoke words, those guys ran. Those words had to come. If they didn't come, they would have robbed him. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. You got a hope of the manifestation of the glory of God in you. But unless you release the glory of God through words, you're not going to see the glory manifest. Right? So I'm not going to preach too long. Right, now, what happens is that in psalmody, let me get these things right here. In psalmody, last week, it was about the covenant. Now, I'm not going to minister a whole blood covenant thing to you. But what I want to minister to you is that a covenant means, the word covenant means to cut where the blood flows. Okay, so the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And what I want to minister on revolves all around about Jesus, all about Jesus, okay? So what happened is this, that what happened in the Old Testament, everything that happened in the Old Testament pointed down to what's going to be happening in the New Testament. All that gruesomeness and all that blood that flowed in the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus Christ, who would die a gruesome death, who would shed his blood, who would take our sin, who would take our sickness, who would take our shame, who would be judged on our behalf. And they offered sacrifices in the Old Testament, and it was a covenant. Everything was to do with covenant. To forgive, to cover their sin. Those sin was covered. These days, sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. So what happens is that during that time, there was a way of doing covenant. So say Craig and I were going to make a covenant with one another. Now, Craig's a big, strong guy, and I'm not such a strong guy. I'm a little weeny guy. And I'll go to Craig, and I'll say to Craig, like, Craig, you know, I'd like to make a covenant with you, right? And we like living in the old days, you know, and Craig, big arc with a big sword and a big helmet of salvation. walks around and everybody's like kind of shudders. And I think, well, this is a good oak to have a covenant with. So I go to him, tell him, Craig, I want to make a covenant with you. So Craig, okay. All right, so now, what have you got to give me? I'll tell him, here's my pen knife. and he pulls his sword out and says, here's my sword. What does that mean? It means I'm giving you my strength. I'm giving you my strength. I'm willing to defend you. I'm willing to stand out for you whenever anybody attacks you. Franco, your little penknife means nothing. I'm going to defend you. And I'm not only going to defend you, but my tribe is going to defend you. You know? Then he takes off his coat. And he says, here's my coat. And I take off my coat. And I give him my coat. I'm giving him my weakness. And he's giving me his strength. I'm clothed with his strength. And he's clothed. He's taken my weakness. He's not a weakling. He's just taken it upon himself. Right? So what happens then is that we then, I'm just going to mention these three things. We then decide, Craig, how do you say your surname again? Hef? Heflinger, right. So I'm Van Lingen. So we might say, you know, so what we do is we join our names so that we are identified with each other. When God made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, he gave them part of his name. He's J-H-W-H was God's name, right? Had no vowel. So what happened is that they joined together. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he said to him, or Abram, it was Abram, but then it became Abraham, where God put his name into Abraham's name. So that when somebody said, what's your name? He didn't say Abram, he said Abraham. And he remembered when he said that name, I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sorry was Sarah. And Sarah, God changed her name to Sarah, adding his name into her name. So when somebody said to her, what's your name? And she said, Sarah, she'd remember that she's got a covenant with God. Now, God made a covenant with him. I will fight your battles for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You know? And so Jesus comes along, and what is Jesus? Jesus does something amazing. Now, I want to share this with you. I want you to listen. He had his ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say to you today. Take this as God's Spirit is speaking to you today. And God is calling you not to be a weakling, but to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Right? I've got a covenant with him. He's given me his armor. He's given me his sword. He's given me his shield. He's given me my feet to be shed with the preparation of the God of peace. He's given me everything that pertains unto life and godliness. I can stand out there as if God was standing there. You got to catch the picture. You know, it's not good listening to stories. I know you listen to little fairy stories when you're a kid. But this ain't not a fairy story. This is reality. And there was a prophecy today. God wants this church and he wants South Africa to be changed. And we are going to have to do that. We in this church are going to have to start taking ground and doing what God expects of us. Need to see more of it in the prayer meetings. But Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world be saved. Amen. So without a covenant, God wants to make covenant with you. There's some people here that have been born again and they know what it is to know Jesus. When you make a covenant with Christ, he comes into your heart. But the difference between Jesus and the old covenant is, in the old covenant, two men made a covenant with one another, if with God they would cut an animal in half, and when men covenants they did, well, they didn't really cut themselves in the Bible, but what happened is that in other tribes they'd cut themselves, and because life is in the blood, they'd put their hands together, and then they would have blood. His blood would flow into my veins, and my blood would flow into his veins, and we'd become united as one. With Jesus, he paid the whole price. Between him and God, he paid the whole price. It is irreversible covenant. It is a covenant that has been made that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Once you've accepted it. But if you don't have a covenant, you have nothing. If you are not born again, you've got nothing. You are going to die without life of God. You're not going to be able to pray effectively. Because God listens to his covenant friends. He listens to those that have covenant with him. If you don't have a covenant, you don't have a relationship with God. You have to have a covenant with God. And if you don't have a covenant with God, you can fool the person next to you, but you can't fool God. And today I'm going to give you an opportunity to make covenant with God. But you have to have a covenant with God. There are two types of covenants. One covenant was Old Testament covenant. And what happens is the Bible says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and do what I have commanded you this day, then these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Right? And he says, but if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and do what I have commanded you today, then these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In Christ, you're under the covenant, and you're open for the curses upon you. But if you give your life to Jesus, now this is like twisting your arm. If you give your life to Jesus, nothing can touch you. If you know your covenant, right? I'll tell you a story quickly. There was this guy. He was the only unsaved guy in the family. He was this real ducktail. And he just didn't want to know anything about God. But his brothers and sisters served the Lord, and he thought they were all religious freaks, and he wasn't interested in knowing them or anything. And one day, his father loved him so much. And his father always tried to tell him, but he just wouldn't want to listen. You know, he was just so clever, he knew it all. And so one day his father dies. But his father was a wealthy oak, and he left everybody a lot of money and property. And when they read the will, he got a Bible. He says, all he could give me, I thought he loved me. And he took the Bible home, and he threw it in his attic. He thought, that's all he could give me. Ha! You know? And years went by, and he became an old man. And he started sorting through his stuff, and he found this Bible, and he said, this is all he could give me. And the Bible fell open. He found a check in it for $1 million. If he'd only opened the Bible years before, he would have known what his inheritance was. Within the Word of God is inheritance. Within the Word of God is life. Within the Word of God, everything that pertains unto life and godliness that you could ever wish for. But there are so many people that talk about it, but they don't open it. They talk about things. They come to church maybe once a month, and then they think they should know their covenant. Another story. One other story. I'm sure you all know this story. This guy gets on a ship. He bought his ticket, got on the ship, and he made his little basket, food, got on the ship, and he got on the ship and on this wonderful cruise liner. And when the time came for supper, everyone would gather in the dining room. Most wonderful food was set before them and everything, and he'd sit in his little room there and he'd eat and try and savor it and make sure that he has enough to last him for the whole trip. And he'd sit there and he'd like kind of just eat a little bit every day. And at the end of the trip, they were leaving the ship and everyone was happy, and he was walking out, and the captain said to him, "I haven't seen you around the ship. I haven't seen you at dinner. I haven't seen you around anywhere. Where have you been?" "No, dinner time I'd go, because I couldn't afford it. I would go and sit in my room and eat my little sandwiches that I made for myself." The captain said, "That's crazy." He says, "Well, when you paid your ticket, you paid for everything. You didn't have to pay for anything on the ship. Everything was free." He didn't realize that because he didn't read his contract. You might be suffering today and you don't know why, and you're saying, "God, why?" Because you don't know your covenant. You don't know your covenant. You've got to get to know your covenant. It's your covenant and the knowledge of the covenant that gives you the ability and the freedom to walk in the power that God has given you. Are you with me? So, the old covenant had curses connected to it. The new covenant sets you free. All right? Galatians 3 verse 15 shows us that Christ became a curse for us so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Christ paid the price for us. Christ broke the power of the curse over us. You are no longer under a curse. If you are, you get a better run to Jesus, or you better run to me or Ivan or Craig or Mark or somebody, so that you can get free from that thing that is trying to lie to you that you're not free. Amen? You got to walk in the victory that Christ has given you. And he's given you an amazing victory. Now, you see, we can't break Jesus' covenant. If you go to 1 John 1:9, if you have, in any way you feel that you have, you go to Jesus and you say, 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sin, if you feel you sinned, you just say, "Jesus," you don't have to tell everybody, "Jesus," because there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. "Jesus, I've sinned." If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That rectifies anything that you might feel is standing in your way between your covenant with God. Ratifies anything and everything. In Ephesians 2 verses 11 and 12, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, You who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Jesus. So now, before you didn't have a hope. Before you give your life to Christ, you didn't have a hope. But now, by the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of himself, you have been made near, you've been drawn in, and he's made a covenant, and he says to you, everything that I am, I give you. Everything that I am, I give you. And everything that you are, I take. What have you got to give Jesus but your weaknesses? What have you got to give Jesus but your praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. What else have I got to give him? What materialistic and in my life, it all belongs to him. So I surrender myself to him. When I surrender myself to him, I become big and strong. Hallelujah. I become inconquerable. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible says. And when you're more than a conqueror, it means somebody else has fought your battle already. You don't have to fight it. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Right? Once upon a time, there was a wall of partition between you and God, but now there's no wall of partition anymore. When you give your life to Christ, and as I was sharing with my home group the other day, and this is what I believe, and I'm not getting into any doctrine, but I'm just saying, I believe that I go into the throne of God, the throne room of God, because the curtain has been torn. I am in God's presence all the time. In actual fact, that's a sort of a type of explanation, but he lives in me, and I am the tabernacle of God. Right? Now, when Daniel prayed, and the demon stood in his way from getting into God's presence, and it took 21 days for his prayer to get to God. But when I'm in the presence of God and I'm talking to God man on man, it's going to take 21 days? No, man, it's immediate. Right now, God answers. Those guys run away. Bang! Didn't take 21 days for them to decide to run away. Amen. They ran away immediately. You have power in the presence of God. You are walking in the presence of God every moment of your day. If you believe that, say amen. If you don't, say no, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself two, one new man. He takes you, and in himself, he makes you part of him. That's what he's saying. So what's happening? Jenny Jesus. Evie Jesus. Amen. Craig Jesus. His name's linked to Jesus because he's part of Jesus. You part of Jesus. Amen. You are so part of Jesus that you can't be separated from him. Because he said he will fight your battles for you. But you know what? You've got to call on him and he will answer you. That's the difference. When I was in trouble right now, little Aki, this weak little Aki, big story. How's Craig going to react if I don't call on him? Craig, I'm in trouble! Ta-da, ta-da-da, come, mommy. Wipe out the enemy. Amen? But I've got to call on Craig. Craig, help me! When you're in trouble, Jesus, help me! Your word says you supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. I have needs. Come, I need. I need you to supply. I need healing, Lord, by your stripes. You bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Hallelujah. I'm free. I claim God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. So he's made a new man in him, out of you. You're in him, you're a new man. The Bible says you're a new creation. You're a brand new man. The old is gone, the new has come. The Bible says your life is hid. What's hid mean? My little granddaughter says, let's play hide and go seek. She goes and hides. Then I can't see her. Right? So something is hidden. You're hidden. But your life is not just hidden. But your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are in God. You are in Christ. You know, I'm going to preach this until everybody hears it. Every time I preach, I think. That all might reconcile, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Enmity means the opposition. He's slain the opposition, and he has made you one with him. The opposition, the Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God manifest. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Has the devil been destroyed? His works? Yes. But there's another little story to that one. The Bible says that Satan is the ruler of this world and this system of things. Okay? But I'm going to get there now. If you don't have a covenant with God, you are separated from God without hope. Hope is finding a promise in the Word of God that covers your situation. You know it belongs to you because there is blood between God and me. I have a blood agreement, and there is no way that this is not going to happen. I am the only one who can mess it up because God's part has been already done. Amen. He's done it. Amen. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he says it is finished. He'd done the work. He already made covenant, and all my needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How are my needs met? By his riches in glory. By what? By who? By Christ Jesus. There's one name under heaven given amongst men. The Bible says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus shall be given unto you. You've got keys. Ray there, when we went in there, he's got a bunch of keys like a lock. Hey, Ray, just check this, eh? The Bible didn't say, I've given you the key to the kingdom in Matthew 16. He says, I've given you the keys. There's a whole bunch of keys. And you know what the keys are? The word that you've memorized that is in your spirit. That gives life to those that find them and health unto all their flesh. I've given you the keys, and those keys can open any door. Thanks. Ivan. Those keys can open any door, but you've got to know how to use that key and what lock that key fits into. I've given you the keys. Are you going to unlock that door and walk through the doors? Without the doors holding you back and all those things that Satan tries to put in your way, holding you back, you can walk through those doors today. Amen. So you find the spiritual promises. Amen. And when you find the spiritual promise and you quote the word, you have hope that you know that God is going to move according to those promises. So I had no hope until I became a partner, a covenant partner with Jesus. I had no hope until I had made covenant with him. And how do I make covenant? I don't have to cut myself. Craig doesn't have to cut himself. Craig and I still become covenant friends without him cutting himself, without me cutting myself, without him giving me his sword, and without me giving him my penknife. Hey, we still become covenant through Jesus Christ when we give our life to him. Donovan's my brother in the Lord because I gave my life to Jesus and he did. Amen. Jesus did it all. It's not anything I've done, but by his mercy. I had no hope. I had no prayer until I became a covenant partner with Jesus. Now, anything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. Anything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. Because everything that God gave, everything to Jesus, and if you, all you need to do is go and find out what God gave to Jesus, and that's yours. According to the Word of God, you know, we got to get to the place of believing that, but it's there, it's for us. So I must go see what the Father has promised him when he raised him from the dead and swore to him, I will be a father to him, and again, he will be to me a son. 1 Corinthians 17 verse 14 and Hebrews 1 verse 5. Okay, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. I'm not going to get through with this. You need to know that in the Bible, two covenants there were, and you fit into the one. No more curses over you. If you're suffering from something, if you need something from God, if you're reaching out, find scripture. If you need to and you don't know and you don't have anyone, Google it. God doesn't have control over the world. The devil has. And we read in 1 John 5 verse 19. Now, this is one thing you're contending with, okay? Even as a child of God, as the living God, you're contending with these things. But how do you contend with them? Exactly the way Trevor did, in the name of Jesus. And they'll flee. So apt for today's message. Amen. It'll flee in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what it says here, it says, we know that we are children of God. Do we? We know we are children of God. Amen. Right? And that the whole world, 1 John 5:19. And that the whole world around us is under the control of the devil. That's why everything's going crazy in the world. Amen? If you're not in covenant with Jesus, you're under the control of the devil. Right? If you're not in covenant with Jesus, you're in control of the devil. He's controlling you. God has control over the church. Just look at this now, okay? God's got control over the church. The church has been given power by God to take control over the world and the devil in it. Right? God's in control over us. We have been given control over the powers of the devil. That's why we need to pray and break down the forces that are in this country trying to bring this country down, and in the world trying to bring the world down. But what do Christians do? They get and say, oh, did you see what's happening again? You know, and they don't pray about it. They talk about it and they groan about it and they moan about it. But we've started praying about it. Amen. And things are changing. And things are going to change. Amen. We need to make a change by the power that God has invested in us. Anything going wrong in the world is because Christians haven't taken authority over it. Amen. Anything going wrong in the world, God has in actual fact given us authority over all the power of the devil, and he can by no means hurt us, according to Luke 10:19. So God's given us a power over all the works of the enemy. Not some, all. Depends on what we do with it. Amen. Unbelievers have been introducing all kinds of immoral laws, and the government's been taking them and introducing it into the law of the country. Unbelievers. And what are the Christians doing about it? Complaining or praying? So when you read the Word of God, you know that it is your covenant with God. You know that all those promises in the Word are yours. Amen? The good things are yours. All the wonderful promises in the Word are yours. Because God's done away with the curse. So forget about the bad things. Forget about the curses. Forget about the lies that the devil comes and shouts in your head. Oh, jy dit verkeerd gedoen. Nou gaan ek jou klap, ou maat. You stand against the devil and you overcome him by the word of the power that God has put in you. And you ask God for forgiveness as quickly as you've sinned. Amen. So Galatians, I just want to read Galatians 3:13 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I'm going to close off with this. Without accepting Christ, you have no hope. Without accepting Christ, you have no hope. Without accepting Christ, you have no power over the devil. Without accepting Christ, you are a mere man and a mere woman. No power. Without accepting Christ, your prayers have no power because they are based on your desires and not on the Word of God. In accepting Christ, you have hope. In accepting Christ, you have power. The Holy Spirit within you and His infallible Word. Now we sing songs. Oh, His infallible Word, an infallible Word. You know, we sing those songs. Do you know what you're singing? I wish I could sing. I'll sing it for you. In accordance, in accepting Christ, you are recreated after God. In accepting Christ, accepting covenant, you are recreated in God in true righteousness and holiness. You might not feel truly righteous and you might not feel truly holy, but God has made you that. No, it's not what you feel. It's what you believe. Christ has made you that. And He's got enough faith in you to believe that He'll get you to that. You are no longer a mere man and a mere woman, but a God kind of a man and a God kind of a woman. In accepting Christ, your prayers are answered because they are not based solely on your desires, but backed by the Word of God, who you are in covenant with. And His Word will not return empty or void, but it'll accomplish what it has been sent out to do, the Bible says. Okay? So I want to ask you today is, do you have a covenant with God? Talking to everybody here. And you know what? You don't have to be ashamed of anybody here, because a lot of people here have made a covenant with God. And you know what? It's time that you stop being defeated by the devil, and it's time that you start making right with God and making covenant with Him. And you know you can do it today. You know, yesterday I went to the hospital. I went to pray for somebody. When I came out of the hospital, I was standing there and I saw this Jewish woman looking at us. She was sitting there, and I didn't know she was Jewish, but I saw her sitting there, and I just went to her and I said, can we pray for you? So she said, I'm Jewish first, you see. And then I said, and she said, but I do believe in Jesus. So I said, oh, that's nice. I said, okay. Then I sat down next to her and I said to her, so can we pray? So I said, would you mind praying this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and that you rose again from the dead. I want to invite you into my heart, and I want you to become my Lord and Savior. And she invited Jesus into her heart. Her phone rang, and she said, I'm busy. And she had an excuse. The devil tried to pull her away, but she wanted what she got. And she accepted Jesus Christ into her heart as Lord and Savior. And then, amen, then I prayed for her husband. Amen. So I just want to say to you, it's a simple thing that you got to do is say, I want to make covenant. Make covenant with God here now today that you've never made. Thank you. Put up your hand. If you don't feel that you have covenant with God today, if you've made covenant with God, I'm not talking to you. But if you feel that you haven't made a covenant with God, I want you to come right to the front here right now. Make a positive confession in front of everybody here today. Anybody wants to say, I want to make a covenant with God today. Come run up here right now. If God's speaking to you, don't sit there. Run up here. And when you make covenant with God, you'll never be the same again. Okay, so you're not too sure that you made covenant with God. But we're gonna pray, okay? So I want you guys, we're just going to pray for them, and then I'm going to lead them in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is present here right now. And I thank you, Lord, that as these people make a covenant with you today, that you, O Lord, by the power of your Spirit, will fill them. Lord, as they make this confession in front of a crowd of people, which the covenant people would do, they would make their covenant confession in front of a crowd. Now they today, they're going to make this confession in front of this crowd as a witness that they are your children, that they are your covenant friends. In Jesus' name. Just pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, say it out loud. Let everybody hear you. There you've got all your covenant people here. Say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary, that you took my sin, you took my sickness, you took my shame, you took my judgment upon yourself. You were judged on my behalf. And Lord Jesus, I want to ask you now, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give my heart to you. Come into my heart today. Become the Lord of my life. Today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm now your child. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must strive to be filled and flow in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise Him, worship Him as much as you can, and you're going to sense the power of God moving in your life. Amen. God bless you. Thanks. So, Father, I just want to thank you for today. Are you going to sing something? Okay. Will you close off in prayer then? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. God bless you all. And we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to go. Amen.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah. We're going to stand.
Reasons for my heart to find.
bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, will still my soul sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, no, my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
Father, we just lift your name now, Lord. We just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to get together as family and friends, Lord. You are our King. You are our Savior. We give you all the glory, Lord. We just pray for the week ahead, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Be with us. Guide us. Teach us your ways. Let us find opportunity to tell people about you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.